Are you out there? Do you know me? Can you feel me? Can you show me? Where are you going? Don't leave me alone. How do I follow you into the unknown? Does anybody know where those words come from? They are song lyrics.
Sorry.
It is Frozen too. So I'm a father of three daughters, and as soon as I said those words, Amy was shaking her head at her father. This is the final lyric of the main song of Disney's Frozen 2. And it's a song that details Elsa's inner conflict. Should she stay with all that she was familiar with, and she'd known for so long? Or should she leave Arendelle and track down the source of a mysterious voice that she keeps hearing inside her head? 4,000 years ago, Abraham faced such a challenge head on. He heard the instruction, the calling of the Creator God, and by faith, he travelled into the unknown. And this is the man we're thinking about this afternoon. Probably not for an hour. We're thinking about the man and his journey from one land to another, to a land that was going to be promised first to his descendants, and then to him forever. I attend the Bracknell Christadelphian Church, and this talk was part of a 9-week series of talks on the subject of faith, faith contained within a New Testament chapter here, Hebrews chapter 11, and this was the fourth of the nine talks, and this chapter is full of Old Testament characters who exhibited faith in their lives, and they will be rewarded for that faith. And in that 9-week series of talks, two of the talks focused on this man, this single man, Abraham. And the reason why two talks were dedicated to him was that he is the exceptional example of faith to us, outside of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God views this man in a particularly special way. So a couple of Bible references here. So this is from the prophecy of Isaiah. So this is sometime after Abraham's life. Isaiah was around about 700 years before Jesus. Times were difficult. Times were changing. The Assyrian Empire was at its zenith, and it came down, and it subsumed. It was a divided kingdom, wasn't it, at that time? The Northern Kingdom, it was coming up against the walls of Jerusalem during the times of Hezekiah. And it's quite a long chapter, but it speaks this chapter speaks of the nations, and providing comfort that God has purpose with his people. So verse 8 was the particular focus for this talk. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, talking about, there's people as a whole, and then linking them obviously back with Abraham, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I've taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. So immediately from this verse, we can see that there is a special relationship that God had with this man Abraham, that he could reference him as being his friend. And then a verse from the New Testament, just after the times of Jesus. So Romans written by the Apostle Paul. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So this was, it's exhibiting the qualities of the faith of this man. That is why it depends on faith. To the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Now there were people of faith before Abraham. Genesis 4, you can think of Abel. And then there's Seth, and then later on there's Noah, isn't there? There are notable examples of individuals of faith, but there's something of an origin story about this man, this man Abraham, and association with Abraham in God's eyes comes from individuals who have faith, and that's why Abraham is described as the father here, the father of the faithful, the father of us all. And Paul's speaking of both Jew and Gentile here. Just one other thing I've got noted down here about Hebrews chapter 11. There's not just one section of the chapter which is dedicated to Abraham. There's two. So Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 12. We read 8 to 10. But then also it comes back to Abraham in verses 17 to 19. So this afternoon it's all about Abraham's journey. And also we can relate to physical journeys, can't we? The boys at the back, they're looking forward to journeying over to Switzerland. Heads nodding here in a week's time or so. But of course, the journey, metaphorically, doesn't it? It speaks to us of life in its entirety. The journey of life from beginning to end, from the cradle to the grave. And when we think about the journey in that perspective, it gets us thinking about, why we're here, our purpose. Have we got a direction of travel, or are we just meandering through life? So a bit of interaction here, quite a bit of interaction towards the end. I'm hoping for some useful comments. Where did Abraham come from then? That's right. Ur of the Chaldeans. So this is the geography. Tiller will probably be familiar with this. So we're in modern day Iraq, aren't we? And at the The top of the Persian Gulf, this is where it's thought Ur was, on the banks of the mighty Euphrates River, which is mentioned in the early chapters of Genesis. And there's references to Ur in Genesis 11, couple of occasions, Genesis 15, and also Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7. I think those are just the four references we have. And this is an artist's impression of the city of Ur. As you can see from this picture, it's well developed. This is a city. So Abraham, sophisticated. He's a city. He's a city dweller, with all of the benefits, but also all of the challenges of living in a city. So he's got roots to this place. And as we've read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. Now, so just thinking about that calling, how it actually sort of happened. The Genesis records, this is Genesis chapter 11, where we first come across Abraham when he's called Abram, is one of a number of Bible characters where the name is changed. So his father took Abram, his son, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. So that's the Old Testament text. And if you just take that at face value, you would think that it is Abraham's father who is the driving force of this movement, of this journey. But this is where the New Testament comes in. So Acts chapter 7, this is Stephen's speech in Jerusalem to those who opposed him, and he starts off with that speech. Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. So this isn't in Haran. The appearing occurred in Mesopotamia, in Ur, before he lived in Haran, and he said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred and go into a land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. So we need this New Testament text, to confirm the calling, original calling of Abraham to depart from Ur. So the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham. So what do we make of that? How was that message conveyed? Well, I don't think, not sure we can be dogmatic, but in the Acts of the Apostles, that similar language is used. So this is again Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7, talking about the incident of Exodus chapter 4, Moses and the burning bush. When 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him, appeared to Moses in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. So in terms of Abraham, it could have been an angel that came to deliver that message. And then Acts chapter 16, so moving on to the time of the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, as he was about to go into Europe for the first time. And that the conveying of that message was by a vision on this particular occasion. So in terms of Abraham, it could have been one of those two mediums. And I just picked this up, I think, from, I don't know, it could have been the Wikipedia page in regards to Ur. So this was a large city with a large population, and what this says is that there was a religion, and some evidence of that being associated with the worship of the moon. So this is something of maybe not Abraham directly, but his family. And the Bible text picks up on this being an issue, sort of going forwards, and of not being true to to the God of the Bible. So Joshua 24, this is when they've come out of the wilderness journeys, the Hebrews, and are established in the land under Joshua. And this is his final message to the nation. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, and those three names are referenced there, Terah, Abraham, and Nahor. And it says that they served other gods. That's what the scripture says, and that was then going to be that was going to be a problem going forwards for Abraham's descendants, and Joshua in his time has to say to the people, well, you need to put these things away from you, things which have been a problem for your ancestors, whether it be those who were in Egypt or those which were served beyond the river. And I think in that context here, that's the river Euphrates. So you've done very well with that first question. Where did Abraham journey to? I think we've had that already. Boys, where did he go to? From Ur to which city? Haran, thank you. Thank you there. Deeper voice. Haran. Okay, Genesis 11:31. Okay, so we've got a simple map here. Any idea in terms of length of journey? How many? Yeah, you're a bit low. You're a bit low. 2,000 kilometers, a bit high. We're moving between different metrics here. Furlongs. 1 month, you reckon, traveling 1 month? Well, you're closer to the land than me, so yeah, 1,000 kilometers, yeah, about 650 miles. That's the and going up the Fertile Crescent isn't it here? Yeah, I don't know how he travelled. I don't know. Could have been camel. Could have taken a boat, I suppose, up the. Part of the Euphrates. So that's where he journeys to. But of course, that's not the end of the journey, and it becomes specifically sort of Abraham's story, doesn't it? When we enter Genesis chapter 12, and that journey is going to be with others, There's Sarai, his wife, and also he takes with him, and I'm not sure if this was a mistake or not, given what happened later. He takes Lot with him, his brother's son, and he also talks about servants here, people being acquired. So I think Abraham is a man of some means. So just got this slide, just going back to Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So this was going to be a completely different life, wasn't it, from the life that he'd come out of this sophisticated city, and he's going to be living a sort of nomadic life that he was called to, living in tents. So Genesis chapter 18, and this is just in the run up to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abram what I'm about to do, seeing that Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation?" And this is one of the angels speaking here, that came to Abram. And it says, "And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." There was a number of very important promises around about land and around people that were given to this man. And we can see his importance here. It says, "For I have chosen him. I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised." And this kind of links in with the theme of this morning, about God's ultimate purpose, and how that purpose was going to be driven, through this man, and through a people who would know of him. And Abraham was tasked with ensuring that his family, that these blessings were known by them, and that they knew the God that they were following. And it is through this man that God's purpose was going to be outworked. Right, have we got another question? How long did Abraham live in tents with Jacob? So Jacob, I quite like this next slide. So Jacob, he's the grandson, okay? And there was going to be a period of time, and it's interesting, Hebrews 11, it specifically picks out the fact that they're living in tents. And there's an emphasis there, of this kind of wandering, of moving from place to place. But they did actually live all together. There was a period. And anybody know the answer to this? 15 years. Okay, that's spoiled this next slide a little bit. 15 years. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is my slide here. Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is 75 years when he enters Canaan. Isaac, who was Abraham's second son, but the son of promise, the son of his wife Sarah. Well, Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Isaac was then 40 when he married Rebecca, and Esau and Jacob, the twins who wrestled in the womb, they came along after 20 years of marriage. So Abraham at that point was 160, and in Genesis 25, he's buried at Hebron at the age of 175. So they all lived together in tents for 15 years, the three generations, the household of faith. There we go. I got a bit carried away there. Okay. So this slide shows the complete journey, doesn't it? From Ur to Haran, and then into the land of Canaan. And then there's a number of chapters in Genesis which speak of Abraham's time in that land. And there's never anything in the text about him looking to return, going back to Ur. Abraham is dedicated to, to this mission, and to this journey, in faith. He's going to stay in that land, apart from an excursion down to into Egypt. And these are the chapters in Genesis. So Abraham is the dominant figure in the book of Genesis, in terms of number of references to a single person. His grandson's life actually is more complete in terms of a record. Very unusual because you've got a cradle to grave record of the grandson. But Abraham is the dominant character in terms of number of references of him. And what this slide is showing that even he was a man of faith, but for all people of faith, there are ups and downs in the journey. And that this simple graph is just kind of depicting that. So there were times of difficulty. There was the Egyptian episode. I think that's chapter six. Going to say chapter 6. It might be chapter 16, where because there's famine in the land, he takes the family down to Egypt, and tells a bit of a fib concerning his wife, and Pharaoh boots him out of Egypt. He goes back into the land of Canaan, but rededicates himself to God, and he sets up an altar at Bethel. We could say certain lack of faith in seeking a human solution to the issue of him ha not having an heir, and of course that was done through Sarah's handmaid. And then he puts Sarah in danger again, in terms of when he went into the land of Gerar, the Philistines. But there's lots of positives, isn't there, as well? He comes into the land. He sets up altars, worshiping God. There's the rescuing of his nephew. When the five kings come down, the battle of the five and the four kings, there's the fellowship with Melchizedek, this enigmatic priest of Salem, of Jerusalem, and he makes his choice. He doesn't want anything to do with the king of Sodom. He aligns himself with the priest, Melchizedek, and fellowships with him. He has a meal with him, and later on he acts on God's instructions, even to the extent that he was prepared to sacrifice his his only son, the son of promise, believing that God would raise that son from the dead. And so as Jeff read for us, verse 10, for he Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So he'd cast his back on Ur, a grand city, but he appreciated it wasn't a city with foundations. He was looking for a city which had God as its designer, and godly principles. So just a couple of verses from the same chapter, and then into Hebrews chapter 12. And this is talking about all of those of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, not just Abraham. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They're looking forward, not to dwelling in tents, but a city itself, a city with heavenly principles. And then into the penultimate chapter of Hebrews chapter 12. This is the city. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. And God has a, it is the apple of his eye, is Jerusalem. It is a special place to God, and it is the city which from which his son will reign, we believe, when he returns to the earth. And then in the final chapter, chapter 13 of the letter to the Hebrews, this is the instruction, this is the expectation of the writer to those who heard the message. Therefore, from all of this, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. So this is talking about Jesus. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. So there's kind of an expectation that for all of the faithful, we're kind of sojourners, we're travelers. I don't think any of us are living in tents. We're living in homes of bricks and mortar. But in our minds, what we have is not lasting. There is something much better that is to come. Okay, this is just having a little bit of fun with you. So, David, which New Testament books refer to Abraham by name? Okay, now how many books in the New Testament? 27. 11. 11 of those books refer to Abraham. Okay, so lads, what's the first book in the New Testament? Matthew. Right, so my question to you, Tommy, is Abraham mentioned in Matthew? It's mentioned. Very first verse. Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's right. And there's seven references to Abraham in Matthew's gospel record. Right, your big brother. What comes next? Mark. Do you reckon Abraham is mentioned in the gospel record of Mark? Yes. Ah, that's interesting. You're right, Mark, but just the one occasion, and it's the last one in Matthew as well. So the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, did they? And they come up with the example of the woman who goes through seven husbands, and in the kingdom, which one will be the husband. And Jesus, says that, you do greatly err. And he goes on to say, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is he's of the living, not the dead. Right, what comes after Mark? Luke. Jeff's nodding. Yeah.
It's the is it the bosom of Abraham? That's for sure. That's in Luke, isn't it?
Must be in the genealogy.
Yeah, genealogy. Yeah, genealogy. So 15.
Lazarus.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Lazarus. Yeah. And quite a lot of these references are in that chapter. I can't remember which one it is. It's one of the later ones, isn't it? 16, is it? Yeah. Okay. Remember, there's 11 in total. What comes next? John. Yeah. Yeah, John's different, isn't it, as a gospel record. And there are a number of references to Abraham, but they're all in one chapter. John chapter 8, I think it is. We have Abraham as our father, the Jews said, and Jesus said, well, God could raise sons from stones if he wished. And it got very heated. Okay, Acts of the Apostles. Exactly, Stephen's speech. Yeah, you're with me this afternoon, Phil. Thank you very much. It's not the first reference to Abraham, though. Acts chapter 3, Peter's second speech. Okay, so we're on a bit of a roll here. It's a bit front-ended, isn't it? Romans? Yes, we've already had a reference, haven't we? Romans 4, wasn't it? That's right. Articulating the faith of Abraham, and that those who were connected with him, need to exhibit faith. There's one reference to Abraham in 2 Corinthians, and I apologize now because I can't remember the context now. Right, Corinthians,
Galatians. Definitely
definitely
Galatians.
Galatians. Yeah,
Just a moment.
this is really important. Yeah, that's right. Neither Jew nor Greek. Yeah. That's right, Galatians. So what's that? 8, 9, 10, 3 to go.
Hebrews.
Got Hebrews. We've got Hebrews, so that's 9.
James. James.
Yes, James. Yeah. And not just talking about the faith of Abraham, but his works as well. So that's 9, 10. So we've got one more. Yeah, the final reference is Peter, and that's in the context of Sarah calling Abraham Lord. Good, thank you for all of that. Okay, so yeah, just finishing with this verse then, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. So he came out of this sophisticated city, and he did so in faith. He never returned to Ur. He was looking forward. He was looking forward to the those promises, the realization of those promises that God was to reveal to him, and he died in faith, expecting that at a future point he would see those promises, and those promises are the gospel. It is the gospel message, the hope of Israel, you know, the things concerning the kingdom, and the things concerning the name of Jesus Christ, who is the descendant, the seed of Abraham, who is central to God's plan and purpose with this earth. So thank you for your attention.